Letters.
On the OECD and climate, violence against women, the NHS, AI and nuclear power, and Britishisms.
Assessing climate policies.
From Matthias Cormann, Secretary General, OECD, Paris. You called attention to the lack of evidence on which climate policies actually deliver. So much hot air, October 5th. The article noted that international institutions such as the OECD have generally not analysed the impact of specific policy interventions. We are working on filling this evidence gap with the Inclusive Forum on Carbon Mitigation Approaches, IFCMA. Launched last year, the IFCMA brings countries together to share data, analysis, and experiences with different climate policies and their impact on emissions. One part of this work will present in early 2025 a systematic review of empirical evidence on policy effectiveness of the kind supported by Dr. Alan Dangor and Dr. Jan Minsk in your piece. Advanced modelling will complement this work by assessing the impact of domestic policies on emissions. We are also constructing a detailed, standardised database of mitigation strategies across a broad set of countries, also for release next year. The database will facilitate empirical analysis like that in the science paper you cited, and will integrate and build on existing OECD data. Our ultimate objective is to help policymakers around the world intervene with greater impact on climate by strengthening the link between evidence and policies and identifying strategies that actually work.
Men must respect women.
From Edward Ortiz, Lieutenant Colonel, U.S. Army retired, Kelowna, Illinois. Thank you for highlighting violence against women in Latin America. Article Stubborn Brutality, October 12th. Two of my great-grandmothers, one a victim of femicide, my maternal grandmother and my mother were all victims of gender-based abuse. This terrible affliction affects so many women, not only in my Latin American community, but around the world. A recent UNICEF report found that over 370 million girls and women alive today experienced rape or sexual assault before the age of 18. I agree with your assessment about the need for better trained prosecutors and education to reduce machismo. However, what's really needed is for men everywhere to man up and end the vicious circle of degrading women and treating them as if they were of lesser value. We, men, need to do better.
Take care of NHS staff.
From Sir Chris Ham, Emeritus Professor of Health Policy and Management, University of Birmingham. Scalpel, Please, October 12th, described productivity in Britain's National Health Service as a pressing problem. William Beaumont's analysis of the cost disease in labour-intensive industries helps explain this problem, as does the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic on staff health and well-being. High levels of sickness and burnout among NHS workers create a challenging context. Damaging industrial disputes have stalled progress in dealing with care backlogs caused by the pandemic, and health ministers have often criticised staff rather than valued them. Creating a working environment that enables NHS employees to perform to the best of their abilities and supports them in improving care is essential if the productivity problem is to be solved.
From John Raynard, consultant urological surgeon, and Jane Edmondson, retired management consultant, Oxford. Starting out as a consultant urological surgeon in Oxford in 1998, there were just four of us. Now we number 18, but productivity has not quadrupled. There are explanations for that. Some surgeons combine NHS duties with academic work, which is vital for researching treatments of the future. Others work for several hospital trusts. Others are subspecialists, no longer carrying out the routine work that still needs to be done. Increasing sub-specialisation brings many advantages, but at a cost of the reduced flexibility that the multitasking generalist brings. In this respect, agency staff, the locum consultant, usually employed as a generalist, may bring efficiencies that offset their seemingly higher costs relative to the sub-specialist consultant. Regarding the negative impact of poor staff morale on productivity, capital investment in software systems that work will mitigate against the frustration that health workers experience from using clunky systems that are not fit for purpose. One such system is speech-to-text software that requires the user to spend substantial amounts of time proofreading for machine errors. Improving staff morale also requires effective leadership. It is not that there are too few NHS managers. Rather, the challenge is to make the NHS an attractive workplace for high-quality managers.
Financing AI's nuclear power.
From Vincent Zabielski, partner, Pillsbury Winthrop Shaw, Pittman, London. You are right to note that artificial intelligence needs clean and reliable energy sources. Power Couple, October 12th. The interest in AI is clearly fueling big tech's concomitant appetite for nuclear power. This is great news for the nuclear industry. Having such a deep-pocketed investor and client base will spur investment. Just as important, it will drive vital innovation in the financing of nuclear plants. Financing entire fleets of the new nuclear projects that will be needed to meet the energy demands of AI will require a reworking of the old financing models to allow for the novel risks attached to new reactor designs. These risks will be spread across the production run, similar to how the development costs of a new aeroplane design are not entirely borne by the first customer.
What's the problem?
From Francis Cubitt, Newbury, Berkshire. I enjoyed your review of Ben Yagoda's Gobsmacked, The British Invasion of American English article, What's Your Cup of Tea, October 12th. But Americanisms still creep into British English. Take, for example, issue, replacing the word problem. I'm sure this began when tech companies had to alert us to their software not working. They didn't want us to see this as a problem, so they called it an issue. An issue may become a problem, but it is not necessarily a problem. An issue is something we need to be aware of and discuss. Some issues may evolve into problems, but are not yet a problem. This particular issue has now become a problem because so many people haven't thought about the difference between the words and use issue wrongly.
From Dorothy Corner Amsden, Los Alamos, New Mexico. As an American who has been reading The Economist for years, I have assembled a growing list of unfamiliar British expressions that leave me scrambling for the dictionary. For instance, I have learned that the term kit means equipment. That's nice and succinct, but stitch up? Oh dear. I have to keep checking my list to remind myself it means a setup, a trick. Here are some other doozies that make your American readers scratch their heads. Cosh, bolshy, stroppy, damp squib. That expression really takes the cake. Wet, take a punt, on the back foot, chuffed, naff, stonking, scunnered, panjandrum.